is Inbred, the Sandwich Podcast, episode number two.
Two?
Two. I'm Barry.
I'm Jeff.
And we like sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Second episode.
Wow.
If you didn't tune into the first episode, this podcast is all about sandwiches and the sandwich adjacent. That's it. Whenever we talk, we're probably talking about some sandwiches.
If you ever ask yourself, what's this podcast about? Well, it's about sandwiches.
Right in the title. You know, there's actually another sandwich podcast that has nothing to do with sandwiches whatsoever.
Really?
It's like a Kenyan improv group. I swear to God.
Weird.
It's the craziest thing. We started this because there weren't any really good podcasts out there just about sandwiches. They're like food podcasts for foodies and gourmets, and they run the gamut, and it may be stuff you're not interested in. I guarantee you, if you like sandwiches, we're going to talk about some sandwiches.
Well, the other reason was because our fellow podcasters on our other podcast were tired of us bringing up food and going off on that tangent.
We're still going to bring up food and drink on that, just to piss them off.
We're still going to do it. Yeah. Because
if you'd like to see us piss some people off, or rather listen to us, visit geekshockpodcast.com.
Yes. Nothing's as much fun as when you get under Commander K's skin.
Oh, my God.
And he just gives you that, are we really talking about this again?
Yep.
Face.
Yes, we are. For the rest of his life.
He will probably never listen to this podcast, so I feel comfortable enough saying that about him.
I think he might give it a listen if we say we mentioned
just,
you.
Just because.
Just to annoy him.
Indeed.
So, the big question.
Uh-oh.
What you been eating?
Well, it does qualify as a sandwich.
Wait, there's a question?
Yes. No, there was no question.
Okay.
But some people try to question whether burgers are sandwiches. And yes, burgers are sandwiches. But what distinguishes this particular burger is this was a New Zealand-style lamb burger.
Oh.
Now wait till I tell you what was on it. 6-ounce lamb patty, goat cheese, hot honey.
Hot honey?
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to put a pin in that. We'll get back to it.
We'll get back to that. Because what balances out? Sun-dried tomatoes,
ooh.
Arugula, cucumber, and topped with a harissa spread.
Ooh, harissa. Why don't you explain harissa to the people at home?
It's not listed on the ingredients list, but it was on the sandwich. Pickled red onions.
Which you gotta have.
I used to like to make pickled red onions at home because it really adds a little something to your sandwich.
Oh, it absolutely does. But it's real important we talk about harissa for a second.
Yes.
It's a chili paste.
Yes, exactly.
It's not like super spicy.
No.
Garlic, olive oil, chilies.
Yes.
Some kind of citrus, a little acid, like a vinegar or lemon juice.
Yes, exactly.
It's tasty. It's really,
very
really tasty.
Tasty.
You ever had harissa chicken? They usually serve that on a stick.
Yep.
It's like little chicken lollipops. I just had one at a wedding I went to. It was amazing.
Yeah, there was a kebab place I went to one time that had that. It was a harissa chicken, and it literally was just on the stick with the sauce on it, and oh, so good.
Yeah, the spice level can vary depending on your chef, but
it can, absolutely.
Was it really spicy on this?
I didn't think it. I think it was the perfect level of spice, to be honest.
What makes it New Zealand style? Were there hobbits?
Well, no, the lamb is sourced from New Zealand, which is the main thing. There's domestic lamb, but a lot of restaurants will import their lamb from the New Zealand. In fact, one of the restaurants I worked at, we always got our lamb from New Zealand. And it's something about the way they raise it there, and the chef swore by it. So I just kind of went with that. But he said, best lamb comes from New Zealand. I'm like, okay.
All right. I would take your word for it. Yeah.
But yeah, like, dude, it's so easy to pickle onions. In fact, here's a little tip for anybody that, you know, frequently buys like store-bought pickles.
Just the tip, just to see how it feels.
Yeah, exactly. Keep the brine when you're done with the pickles.
What do you do with it?
You slice up some vegetables, like your onions, and you put it in that brine. So if you had a particularly good pickle, preferably one that's not got a lot of green dye in it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a hot Clausen or something
God,
like that.
God, I hate that. Like the Clausens will even
that
have
vinegar
that.
Brine.
The Clausens will even have that yellowy pickle look to them. The Vlasics especially.
Yes.
I can't buy them anymore.
They put a lot of green dye in there, yeah.
Why do they do that? The best pickles I've had are from Costco.
Yes.
You know, the ones, like the little pickle chips. I got them in the fridge. I forget who makes them. But there's no dye in them. They're crisp and they're good.
Yeah. But it's super easy to pickle it. You slice up your red onions in this case. You put it in that brine. You put it in the back of your refrigerator. Couple of days. It's better if it has about at least a week to really stabilize, because you want that salt to penetrate and to basically kill off any potential bacteria, etc. But it's super easy. I've pickled carrots at home.
Now, a lot of pickle brine, something has celery, has pickles dill in it. Do you put the dill in there as well with the carrots and everything else you pickle?
I typically leave whatever's in the brine. I tend to like a hot pickle.
Okay.
Sometimes it's a little bit of chili pepper.
The next question I had was, do you like bread and butter pickles?
Oh, I love bread and butter pickles.
Okay. I prefer dill, but I do love a good bread and butter pickle on a like a burger.
When I used to work at McDonald's, we had this sandwich called the Arch Deluxe.
I'm familiar with the Arch Deluxe.
One of the things that distinguished it on our line, because we had a little prep line where you had all your ingredients that you put on all the different sandwiches, and they were all there together. We had bread and butter pickle chips for that particular burger, only for that burger, because the standard dill that we put on, you know, every other McDonald's sandwich were separate.
Oh, those weak, flimsy little dills you get on? Yeah.
I mean, they're good flavor, but they're too thin.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
The
pickles.
Thicker pickle had a little crunch to it.
Yes, exactly.
A little mouthfeel.
And these bread and butter pickle chips were thicker cut and
al dente.
They were that the ridged cut.
For
so,
my pleasure.
So exactly. So you had a little bit more crispness to it.
That's the ones from Costco. They got those ridges and they're just so good.
Yeah, it's so good on a burger too.
Now, we're not going to talk about burgers a lot on the show. It's more about sandwiches. Is a burger a sandwich? Yes, technically it is. And we may occasionally get into it, but it's not going to be our, no pun intended, bread and butter.
I will probably only bring up a burger if it's like a gourmet burger, like something outside of the norm.
Yeah.
It's
got to be spectacular.
The reason I brought this particular one up is because it's so different. You know, yeah, it has burger in the title, but the place that serves this is a place here in town called Barcode Burgers. And they serve like a bunch
town
of,
meaning Vegas. We're in Vegas.
Yes, I should mention that. Sorry. Here in Las Vegas, place called Barcode Burgers. They are a restaurant / bar that their primary menu item is their gourmet burgers.
Yeah.
And so it's a proprietary blend of beef if it's a regular burger, fresh, never frozen, fresh baked buns, etc. So, it's a great place to go if you want to try. I mean, they have your standard burger. I think they call it the backyard burger, if I remember correctly. That's their normal, quote-unquote, American-style burger with the ketchup, mustard, pickle, onion, lettuce, etc. But they have what they call the burger of the month. And every month, they have a new gourmet burger. Most of them have been pretty awesome. There's been a couple that I was like a little underwhelmed
by. Okay, I'm looking it up right now online. The Backyard Bacon Cheese has hot honey. Mm-hmm. There's that hot honey again. Bacon, lettuce, onion, Thousand Island, and American cheese.
Okay,
their standard
the
barcode
one.
Burger has, yes. And I love this part.
Yes, the barcode burger is fantastic.
Beer onion jam.
Yep.
What the shit is that, and how can I get it?
They make it themselves.
Hold on, there's more. Bacon aioli.
Yep.
I'm going to say that again. Bacon aioli. Yep. Those two words together, your hair should stand on end.
Oh, yeah.
Pickled onions, obviously. Pickled bell peppers.
Yes. So it adds a little bit of crunch to it, but it gives you that vinegary blend that you get with a burger.
Mm-hmm. Arugula.
Yes.
It's hard to get in American grocery stores good arugula. Unless you go to like the Sprouts or the Whole Foods or something like that. Around here, we don't have a lot. We're not as fortunate as those in the South and the American Midwest who has HEB, which is the greatest grocery store in the planet, I think. But we don't get good arugula, so we got to suffer through like lettuce. But there is something else in this burger that you and I will probably disagree on.
Okay.
Blue cheese butter.
I love the blue cheese butter.
It's exactly
what you think it is. They take butter and crumbled Maytag blue cheese, which is the highest end blue cheese you can get, And they basically cook it up a little bit so that it gets nice and melty, and they put it on top of the burger. I am a big blue cheese fan. Barry is not. I've known this about him.
You are a garbage human being.
I have given up trying to convince him that he's wrong because he is wrong about blue cheese, especially Maytag blue cheese, because that's your higher end. That's your really good flavor.
It's just spoiled cheese.
It's not spoiled cheese.
Blue doesn't occur in nature like that. It's just not.
Well, and even like really good blue cheese doesn't have the blue flecks in it typically. So.
Oh, it's just so gross. So gross. The only thing worse is Stilton cheese. Gah.
Stilton is basically blue cheese.
I know. It's just terrible. There's a place in town that serves a Stilton and cabbage soup, and it is the worst smelling thing ever. You can find that at the Crown and Anchor, folks. But no, speaking of blue, they also, and I know I'm going off on a burger tangent here. Deal with it. They have a blueberry big barbecue burger.
That one's good, too.
Roasted pulled pork, bacon, crispy onions, white cheddar, and blueberry barbecue sauce.
Yes.
Oh, I need that. That sounds
good. That blueberry barbecue sauce is so weird, but it's so good because you've got the smokiness that you get in a typical barbecue sauce, but you've got that sweet blueberry flavor, too. And it doesn't seem like it would balance well, but it does.
See, this is why we said we weren't going to do burgers, because we could go on a tangent with this. I'm going to mention this one thing that disappointed me greatly.
Well,
There is a burger called a burger bar called Hop Dottie. Hop Dottie has locations all over, like Texas, Houston, Austin, San Antonio. They got Phoenix, L.A., Denver, they got one. There's a few in Atlanta and Florida. It's like super high quality burgers. And they used to have this one location I went to called Lolano Poblano with poblanos on it.
Oh, nice.
Poblano pepper is great on like a chicken sandwich.
Yes.
Because it's not a bell pepper, but it's got good flavor.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not too spicy.
Poblanos are like a big chili pepper, but
the most
not
you're ever going to get is about
spicy.
The most you're ever going to get is like 1,000 Scoville units.
Yeah.
I know this because the other day I had Instacart deliver me some peppers and they didn't deliver me poblanos, assholes. They delivered me Anaheim pepper. So I'm like, I don't know if I can use that. It doesn't have the same flavor. It's not the same.
So no Carolina Reapers for you then.
Dude, I will cry.
Or the newest one, which is Pepper X, which is like a hybrid of the Reaper and some other pepper that they won't disclose.
That just tastes like suffering.
It's the hottest pepper known to humanity.
Why, dude? Just freaking why?
Some people just love that feel that they get. So you do actually get a bit of a euphoric feel. It's like taking drugs for some people.
Well, yeah, it's an endorphin rush.
Yes.
That's just
how
it goes.
Because apparently they've recently discovered that chili peppers don't trigger the hot, like the temperature hot cold reaction that we always thought. It triggers a flight or fight reaction in your brain.
Yeah.
So that's why some people get that feeling of high, like that they're high, because if you've ever watched Hot Ones on First We Feast YouTube channel,
Sean Evans is the greatest interviewer of our generation.
Oh, he's amazing. Even the people that get interviewed by him say so. It's like, wow, that's a really great question.
Yeah, he's really good.
And it's not just him. His interview staff, he's given lots of credit to his writing staff because
just amazing.
They do research, and he is on that writing team. But there have been many guests that are like, I feel like I'm high right now. And that's what that spice does, especially as you start ramping it up like they do on the show. But I could talk about Hot Ones all day. But we're here to talk about sandwiches.
We're talking about sandwiches, yeah. And I was just about to mention this sandwich from Hop Dottie that I had in its place.
Yes.
Called the El Diablo. You know where this is going. Pepper jack cheese, jalapenos, and habaneros.
Ooh.
With caramelized onions, spicy salsa verde, lettuce, tomato, and a chipotle aioli. You have me at aioli.
Yes.
You always have me at the I love the taste of habaneros. I can't handle the heat. Don't let the dark skin fool you. I can't. I have no a genetic predisposition toward handling this stuff, and I will cry and I'll sweat and I'll talk like this, and my nose will sweat. It's just terrible. I can't handle the heat, man.
Gotcha.
I love it though. I love the flavor. I'm like suffering while I'm eating this. Everyone's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. That was all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds good though.
It's really good, but at some point I can't handle that hot, spicy stuff. But going way back to your original sandwich,
mm-hmm.
The harissa spread?
Yeah.
100% recommend.
Absolutely.
100% recommend. Now, you had asked me, what kind of sandwich did I eat?
Yes.
Well, let me tell you.
Oh.
I just got back from a visit to Houston. I went to a friend's wedding.
Okay.
With Deb. And I had a spicy yard bird.
Spicy yard bird.
Spicy yard bird from, ironically, Kraft Burger. But they have this this thing in a food hall. I love a food hall.
Yeah.
A good bespoke food hall.
Right.
And there's this place called Finn Hall in downtown Houston. And I saw the grilled spicy yard bird, which is Caribbean jerk marinated free ranch chicken breast.
I love grilled. Caribbean jerk seasoning.
Oh, I love it so much.
Especially with chicken. Oh,
one of my favorite burgers. I'll talk about it in a second. Caribbean jerk chicken. Pineapple, like a little grilled pineapple.
Of course. Got to have pineapple with Caribbean jerk. And
fresh avocado, chicken. Green leaf lettuce, tomato on a challah bun.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I posted a picture of this on our Instagram.
I saw it.
It's just a fat piece of chicken, but it's so spiced around the edges of it, like a blackened seasoning.
Almost. Okay.
So it's very seasoned. Super good. And the bread was good. The challah bun really holds it together really well. I was very impressed by that, but it wasn't too spicy at all.
Okay.
Yeah. The Caribbean jerk. Well, okay. If you go to Buffalo Wild Wings, Caribbean jerk wings are, I think, the best. But the Caribbean jerk didn't stand out as much as the rest of the seasoning on the chicken did here. I love Caribbean jerk. One of the best burgers I ever had is at one of my favorite places to eat. And this place will come up again for other reasons, or other sandwich-related reasons. The Hobbit Cafe in Houston.
Yes.
This place is my favorite. And they have they used to have a Caribbean jerk burger.
Nice.
But now you have to order it off menu.
Well.
They changed their menu.
At least they still have it available off menu.
Well, yeah, you get Caribbean jerk on the burger, and then you get the mango salsa, and you put it on that, which I'm always that guy. It's like, can I have this, but sub this for this and do this? Because I'm picky as hell, dude.
What's wrong with the mango salsa?
Nothing. It's just doesn't come on the burger unless you ask for it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Nothing's wrong
with
it.
Did it originally come on the burger?
Nope.
Oh, that was just that was a berry mod?
That was a berry mod.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to hear a lot of berry mods, I think, as the podcast goes on, because Barry likes to switch things up.
I like to make it mine.
So having worked in the food biz as long as I have, I've always been of the opinion that the way the chef designs the cuisine is how it should be enjoyed at least once before you start modifying their...
I've been to this place a million times.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's one day, we will be mentioning it on the next show because I got something else from that place I will talk about. It's one of my other favorite sandwiches.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's what I've been eating. Let's take a few questions from the internet.
Yeah. And we have a really great one from our very first subscriber
Subscriber, Jeffaroff.
Yes.
Our favorite guy right now.
And our number one first of all subscribers.
And to which we're going to give him a sandwich.
He's getting a sandwich.
Getting a sandwich. And you could too. All you have to do is subscribe at ko-fi.com/inbred.
Absolutely.
And you could join our Discord where we will talk about sandwiches. And you get exclusive stuff, and if you join at the right level, you could get a free sandwich. We're gonna be giving away sandwiches every month.
That would be
not even kidding.
Meatball hero,
the meatball hero tier. Yeah. Okay. So the question he asks is, can you recall a sandwich where the bread sucked? And this relates to another sandwich question that someone else from the internet asked us about. Like, what's the worst? What's the thing that ruins a sandwich for you? Who asked that? Fruity Pants 1 asked, what ruins a sandwich for you? And I was going to say, to me, the filler of the sandwich is what you normally order a sandwich by.
Yeah.
When I order a turkey sandwich, I'm not ordering a bread sandwich. I'm ordering a turkey sandwich, and I don't think about too much what kind of bread it's on until I read the description.
Right.
It's always secondary, but it shouldn't be. Because the bread is what will kill a sandwich for me.
Absolutely.
The problem is sometimes the bread's too hard and you got to bite into it and it's a lot of work to eat it.
Right.
I hate that where it tears up the roof of your mouth like Captain Crunch. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I like
the rough Italian sandwiches where you got that rough baguette
if like it's a French toasted sandwich. Not improperly, but if it's toasted and it's a thick toasting, a radiant toast versus like say a grilled toast,
yeah,
like on a flat, the flat grill, can make a difference about how it's going to be. Like it's super bumpy and it basically tears up the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, and now I like a toasted sandwich. A toasted bread.
Yes,
because it soaks up the juices a little more, mm-hmm. and it holds together everything. Like whenever I make a burger or a chicken sandwich, I toast the buns so that it holds together. It gives it some structure.
Also caramelizes the sugars in the bread a little bit, and it gets a little bit more flavor.
Yeah. Because there's flavor in that bread. You just got to bring it out.
Exactly.
But the most important thing, I think, to me is the medium. It's the scaffolding that holds this sandwich together. Literally holds it together.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's flimsy, like sometimes I'll have just like white bread, you know, because it's for my toast in the morning. Maybe I don't have like a roll handy because you can't keep a lot of rolls handy because it'll go bad.
That was going to be my answer for Jeff Roth's question, is that I find when I've gone to a restaurant and there's a fine list of ingredients on a sandwich, but it's served on white bread.
Mm.
That is a huge detractor for me from the sandwich, because it's like white bread is so plain. It's so plain. Even if it's Texas toast, because what is Texas toast?
It's
but basically a
white
big
bread.
Thick white bread.
Yeah.
Can it work for some sandwiches? Depends on how you prepare it.
You're gonna laugh at me. Maybe if you
do a garlic butter grill on a Texas toast, that can be really good.
You're going to laugh at me.
Okay.
Arby's has a sandwich they serve on like seeded like bread like that. It's not white. It's not, I don't know what it is, but it's a little thicker. It's not bad, but that's only due to the fact that the bread holds up.
Okay.
You know, when you take a bite and you're holding it for a while, it doesn't squish down. It's not threatening to fall apart when you put spread on it.
So for me, sourdough bread is kind of like the Swiss Army knife for sandwiches, because it's a good sandwich making bread for a lot of different types of sandwiches. Now, is it perfect for every sandwich? No.
Just like rye is not perfect for a lot of sandwiches.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But it's a really good bread to use where you might use like a white bread. Like, for example, a basic sandwich like a tuna salad sandwich. Don't make it on white bread. Do yourself a favor. Switch to that sourdough.
Yeah. The only problem is keeping it on hand. And sometimes...
And sourdough will last a lot longer than white bread, typically.
Yeah. Now, if you're like me, where
whole wheat, that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
Wheat does not last long.
I work from home.
Yep.
And when it's lunchtime, I'll wander over to the kitchen and I'll make myself a sandwich. But if I don't have all these breads handy, which I don't keep them handy, do I make my own bread? Yeah, but I don't make it all the time because there's only a couple of us living here. I'll just grab a piece of white bread and just make a sandwich. The problem is a proper sandwich has a lot more than just meat and cheese on it, to which my girlfriend and I will fight about that. I'll put a little mayo, a little mustard, some like turkey, like a slice of cheese, tomato, lettuce, pickle, and I'll do the lettuce right with the vinegar and the whole business.
Yep.
The bread can barely handle this sandwich.
Yep.
And that is a problem.
I mean, it happens. But I mean, if I had to get specific, like his question about, you know, a sandwich that sucked because of the bread, I had at a restaurant what would have been a fantastic club sandwich. Now, club sandwiches, pretty common. You can get them a lot of different places. You know, it's your turkey, your bacon, your lettuce, your tomato. I always feel like the better clubs are the ones with like either like a deli mustard or a Dijon mustard instead of the plain yellow mustard. And then your mayonnaise. Everything about this sandwich was good except for the bread. They used the basic white bread. And I felt like they could have switched it for, you know, like we just mentioned, a sourdough, or they could have maybe done like even a rye bread or something on this, and it would have been a better sandwich. But the fact that it was just this plain white bread really ruined it for me. And all the ingredients, like I even took like one of the sections, I took the bread off and just ate the ingredients aside. And I'm like, you know what? This has got good flavor. The only thing holding this back is the choice of bread.
A lot of club sandwiches will be just toast.
Yeah.
With a little mayo on it. I'll do that with a BLT.
Sure. Right? But BLT on sourdough.
Yeah. yeah. You can have me on that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the most of club sandwiches, when I think of, I'm going to order a club sandwich.
Right.
It's toast, mayo,
yep.
A little bacon, a little turkey,
yep.
A tomato, lettuce, and then another slice, and then more shit, and then another slice.
Yeah. So it's like stack it.
Stack it like a Big Mac.
Not Dagwood level stack it, but
no,
stack it.
No, no, not Dagwood.
Speaking, which we'll get to shortly.
Yeah. We'll get to it right now. Fuck
okay,
it.
Okay, sure.
So speaking of the Dagwood sandwich, Land Native 318 asks, how long would it take for you to finish Dagwood's cartoon sandwich? Let me tell you something about the Dagwood sandwich. It's just a cartoon. It's bullshit.
Yeah.
Don't eat that.
I mean, humans, we can't unhinge our jaws and do that. I mean, we can't do the Scooby-Doo where you somehow smash it down into just the right amount that you can get your lips around it.
And if
then
you do that, you're squishing the bread. And I just talked about how you shouldn't do that.
Yes.
That said, if you've ever been to a good Jewish deli.
Oh, God.
Oh,
yes,
here
I
we go.
So, yeah, it's funny because Barry and I talked about this a little while ago. I know there's more, but the one that comes to mind first is a place here in Vegas called Weiss Deli. It's an old-fashioned Jewish deli. Now, one of my favorite sandwiches of all time, and it's a go-to, is the Reuben.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Reubens typically should be served on a grilled marble dry.
Correct.
With a good sauerkraut. And a Russian dressing. I mean, you can substitute Thousand Island, but a good Jewish deli will make their own Russian dressing from scratch.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Now, this particular deli serves their Reuben open face, but that's not how you're supposed to eat it. They just basically put the top bread on the side for you to put on yourself because they pile on that corned beef and the sauerkraut. I'm talking like if the bread was on the bottom of the plate, there's a good 2 or 3 inches of piled on corned beef on top of that before they add the sauerkraut, which adds another inch or two. So you're supposed to put the sandwich together on your own before you eat it.
So you do that. How do you bite it? Do you bite it like in wedges? Like you pick at it?
You kind of have to spread the corned beef out a little before when you put the top on, because you don't want to squish it down, but you do have to compress it just a touch to take a bite. It was a struggle, I will tell you, the first time I had it, because I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, well, I don't want to mash the bread, because you don't want the bread to thin out to where it's, you know, your fingers are basically going through the bread, but you also want to make sure that you can take a good bite and get all of the ingredients in that bite. But
it's,
it was good.
Rough. That's a rough eat.
It was good.
There is a place in Houston called Katz's. Now they got a couple locations. It's based out from the one from New York City, and they have the three sizes. They got a slim, a classic, and then the New York style. I've never been able to finish that. It's like it's three meals. It's ridiculous. Almost to the point where it becomes a knife and fork job.
Yeah.
Which pushes the boundaries of a sandwich.
Yeah.
The bread, it's a marbled rye,
but
it holds it together okay.
Okay.
You just got to be careful.
Right.
They put a lot, they do like slather on the Russian a bit. And
yeah.
I could go easy on the Russian. Going back to the first discussion we had, the thing I like about that place, they're little pickles.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, the house-made pickles. There's another place called Kenny and Ziggy's
where
they'll give you the half sours. You know what the half sours are?
Uh-uh.
That's like they're not quite ready yet. They're pickles.
Oh, okay.
They're not totally pickled.
Gotcha. The brine hasn't penetrated all the way through.
Yeah. So it's like half a cucumber, half a pickle. It's pretty damn good. It's pretty damn good. But no, I love me some Katz's sandwiches. But I never know how to eat them. You can order them half corned beef, half pastrami if you're feeling like you don't know what you want. And it's not bad. It ends up being like a club sandwich at that point.
You know, that brings up another thing. Going back to the pickles. Why do delis have the best whole pickles? What are they doing to their pickles that make them so much better than, I mean, I know a lot of them make it in-house, so that does make a little bit of a difference.
They got their own brine, and they don't slice them until you're ready.
Yes.
You know, I think.
Or sometimes they don't slice them at all. They'll wrap it up in butcher paper and give it to you, and you take it home that
way. As you should.
And that It's like it maintains the integrity of the pickle until you're ready for it.
I know what it is. It's texture and mouthfeel, and I'll defend this to the death that a pickle, like a whole pickle, or at least a pickle sliced in half, mm-hmm. hits different than one sliced in fours or eights or whatever. If you look at the Vlasics, the ones mm-hmm. in the jar you get in the store,
yeah,
even the Mount Olive ones, which aren't that bad, they don't feel the same. They don't have that al dente, that bite,
yeah,
that snap when you bite yep. it. You cut a pickle straight in half, it still has that bite. But then it's all the juice is permeated inside, but not quite as much. A whole pickle is going to always hit different than a pickle that's sliced.
The closest I've ever got store-bought is Boar's Head will sell whole pickles in, like if your grocery store has a deli section, they have those Boar's Head pickles and yeah. they will sell you a Boar's Head pickle. And that's the closest you're going to getting like a nice deli house-made pickle.
You know, Jimmy John's.
Yep.
They'll give you a pickle.
Yep.
They'll ask you how you slice it. And I just say slice it right straight in half, and that's it. Do you ever eat like the random pickled eggs out of a jar?
I have not had a pickled egg in a long time, but yeah, I've had one.
Those aren't bad.
You
could put them on sandwiches.
Yeah.
You can make a whole sandwich of pickled shit.
Dude, I will tell you, it seems like it would make a good egg salad sandwich, too.
Ooh, I like
because
me
you're
going to
have a little bit more bite to it.
I like me an egg salad sandwich a lot.
If it's done well. Yeah, okay, which well. Brings me to another point. Egg salad, sweet pickle relish, or dill pickle relish?
Dill.
Yeah. Dill. So I'm a dill person myself. Dill.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can go either way, but yeah. all is good. But
in a pinch, I'll use the sweet pickle relish because it's usually not as sweet as, well, it depends on the brand, but, you know, like say your classic Vlasic or, you know.
A lot of that shit has yeah. like high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah.
We're in America. What are you going to do? Just try and avoid that. But get like the bespoke stuff, the expensive yeah. shit. You're like, but oh, this costs double. Yeah, get
the
it.
The dill relish typically doesn't have the syrup in it. The corn
high
syrup.
High fructose corn syrup. Yeah.
So it's basically nice ground up dill pickles. So spreadable. And it doesn't, when you're making your egg salad or even your tuna salad or your chicken salad, if it's a type of relish that's got that syrup, it tends to thin out your mix. So when you're trying to make that from scratch and you're using a dill pickle relish, I just find that it gives you a more cling when you're doing your mayo and your mustard together,
yeah,
et cetera.
Full disclosure, I just ran to my refrigerator to see if I had a relish in there because I swear they had high fructose corn syrup in it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I mean, it depends on the manufacturer.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some, probably the cheapo, like if you go to Walmart and you buy the Walmart brand, the Great Value, I think it's called.
Is it a Great Value, though?
It's probably high fructose corn syrup in it.
Very, very likely. I'm always a fan of making it yourself, but who has time for that sometimes?
Yeah, it takes time. That's what I think.
Yeah. So how long would it take?
Hopefully how long did that take us to answer your question, Jeffer?
Just a long ass time to answer that question. What I wanted to talk about today,
okay,
when we get into it, I realize we're like 34 minutes in, is Italian sandwich, Italian subs, because we had one earlier for mm-hmm. lunch.
Yep, we sure did.
Someone asked, "What's the actual name? Is it a hoagie? Is it a grinder? Is it a this? Is it a that?" That you're opening up a big can of worms, and I'm going to touch on it briefly. The original, obviously, is called a sub sandwich, a submarine sandwich. The people say it was originated out of New London, Connecticut, because that's where the primary sub base was there. There's an Italian guy made sandwiches. Dominic Conti's grocery store. They started in 1910 in Paterson, New Jersey. They had the traditional Italian sandwiches. It's one of those things that's lost to time, but generally submarine is the one that's said the most. Hoagie, mm-hmm. that originated in Philly. I think it was in the 1950s. They reported that the World War I era shipyard called Hog Island, where emergency shipping was produced for the war effort, they had to introduce the sandwich. It was known as the Hog Island sandwich, shortened to hoagies and then hoagies.
Okay.
That's But there's other origins that are possible. Dictionary.com said it originated. There's the word for hero, large sandwich made from a long split roll. Name for the musician Hoagie Carmichael. So who the hell knows? There's a lot of talk about it. Point is that if you're from certain areas of the country, you're probably going to either call it a sub or a hoagie. Then there's the hero. That's a New York term. New York, they call them heroes. Why? I don't know. Some claimed it was related to the Euro. It's really not. The one I never understood was grinder. That's a New England term. That's from like Connecticut, Rhode Island. It's a grinder. There's a theory that said it's from an Italian-American slang for a dock worker. Or maybe because the hard crust requires a lot of chewing. See, there's that crust thing again. But not many people call them grinders anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's some places that still refer to it. In fact, when I was a kid growing up in Wichita, Kansas, smack dab in the middle of the country, we had a local sandwich shop called the Grinder Man. Oh, okay. And they had sub-style sandwiches. And one of the ones I remember vividly was one that had a red pepper relish on it with the Italian meats. In fact, Barry and I, we haven't got to it on this particular podcast yet, but Barry and I used to work Star Trek The Experience. And our restaurant, we had a sandwich called the Photon Torpedo. And the Photon Torpedo...
Captain Archer's 12-inch hoagie!
...was fresh baked Italian bread, sliced in half, a whole bunch of great Italian meats, red wine vinaigrette, cheese, provolone cheese, and a house-made red pepper relish. So close as I ever got to that sandwich that I grew up with in Wichita.
I love that sandwich.
It's phenomenal. In fact, you know, we're talking about history of submarine sandwiches. BonAppetit.com has a really good article about history of hoagies, grinders, subs, heroes, and spuckies.
Spucky, that's from Boston.
That's definitely a New Spookadella. New England term for the sandwich.
That derives from spookadella, meaning long roll.
Yep.
That's a regional thing. That's an American-Italian thing. Spookadella. Then there's blimpies and po'boys. In fact, and if you want to get some science on this, there is an article that was originally published in American Speech, Volume 42, Number 4, December 1967, published by the Duke University Press, called The Submarine Sandwich, Lexical Variations in a Cultural Context by Edwin Ames and Howard Roboy of Temple University in Atlanta, Georgia, that talks about terms used for a sub sandwich in 100 American cities listed alphabetically. Most people call it a submarine. Then next was called a hoagie, and then poor boy. Poor boy's a different thing. Grinder.
Well, I mean, but
torpedo.
They have a similar origins.
They do. But when I think
po-boys
of a po-boy,
typically are more associated with like New Orleans area
Cajun sandwiches. Yeah,
but poor boys before they got called po'boys were a lot in a lot of your lower income areas. So not exclusively New Orleans from what I understand.
Well, you want to see the cities where they call it a poor boy?
Sure.
Memphis, Baton Rouge, Houston, mm-hmm. Mobile, Montgomery, Peoria, New Orleans, Billings, and Sacramento.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. The grinders out of Des Moines, Hartford, San Francisco, Providence, Akron, Cleveland, Hartford. Chester. Torpedo. I never heard of a torpedo. Anyone calling it? This is from the 60s, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was... It probably describes it in there, but I know I have actually heard it called a torpedo before, and it was a way to kind of distinguish itself from the submarine, because it's still a nautical term, but to say, hey, it's like a submarine sandwich, but...
It blows up.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Explodes in your mouth.
Now, they have here listed the Italian sandwich from Louisville, Reading, and Allentown, and I call bullshit because in Maine, they just call it an Italian. That's just an Italian. That's it. And it's, you know, a run roll with American cheese, tomato, onion, green bell peppers, olives, pickles, and black pepper.
Do you think in Allentown they have a sub called the Billy Joel since he...
God, I hope not.
Since he made that song.
And then there's the wedge and the spooky, and then there's all their kind of stuff. The Zeppelin.
I've actually heard of the Zeppelin. You don't hear it very often, but it's always amusing when you do find it on a menu. You're like, the Zeppelin, that's funny.
So honestly, it's just a regional thing. It doesn't change the sandwich a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, you could have it served on Italian bread, served on French bread, but it's typically some kind of a baguette variation.
Yeah.
You know, that long, thin type of bread, sliced in half. And I think if I remember correctly, the origin of why they did it that way is for portability.
Yeah.
You could roll it up and you could put it in most pockets of coats or pants.
Or when the working man needs to take a quick sandwich, you just roll it up, take it with you.
Because you didn't get a lot of time for lunch.
No.
Especially back in like the 1920s, 1930s, et cetera.
Before, you know, labor laws.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. But getting back to the Italian sub. So what is an Italian sub? You're going to get a million different answers to this question.
Absolutely.
It all depends on the meat. It's at basic. Italian meats.
Yep.
Italian cheese.
Yep.
Lettuce, tomato, olive oil, vinegar. If you're feeling fancy, which I always am, sweet pepper relish or some kind of hot peppers on there.
Okay.
Now, the Italian meats are super important.
Absolutely.
I've seen people say, oh, Italian sub, that must be ham, salami, and pepperoni. Get the fuck out of here. Take your shit sandwich and go home if that's it. No, no, no. There's a lot of great Italian meats that you could be using, and you don't have to have certain, like all of them. But you'd be remiss if you didn't have...
Didn't we find a list of 30 different types of Italian meats barely scratched the surface?
I know. Some of them I don't even know. Like this one. Cotticino is a fresh cured pork sausage made throughout regions in northern Italy. I'm going to go to northern Italy and try it because you don't get a lot of it out here. But what we do get is capa or capicola or gabagool.
Yes.
That's right. If you're playing the drinking game at home, which I'm just making up right now, yes. I say the word gabagool, you drink. Gabagool.
He says it a lot.
I know. A salami of salted aged pork shoulder rolled into a short, thick cylinder. It can be a little spicy. Sometimes you'll get it in the store, in the main grocery store, as a hot cappy ham. Not the same. Get the capa. It's not as... it's streaky.
Yeah.
You know? It's darker. It's streaky. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and like if you're using just plain old ham, you're not doing yourself any favors when you're making an Italian sub.
Now, I'm a big fan of ham in all its varieties, but for an Italian sub, stay away from the ham. The most ham-like thing you're going to put on here is prosciutto.
Yeah.
Prosciutto is a ham, but it's been salted and aged, not smoked. I love smoked stuff, but not here. This is not smoked. And they all make it different in Italy in all different places. There's prosciutto Modena, prosciutto di Parma. Parma's big for ham. That's in the region of Emilia Romagna. Prosciutto di San Daniele. That's in somewhere else. There's prosciutto Toscana made in Tuscany. In Italy, these hams are called prosciutto crudo, meaning raw ham, which distinguishes them from prosciutto cotto, which is cooked ham.
Okay.
The difference is very minimal. This is like audiophile stuff. It's like hamophile. I'm a hamophile. Oh, there's a t-shirt. Mortadella, which technically means death meat or whatever. It's basically bologna, but with more complex flavor.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a thick cylinder, a cooked salami, finely ground, little peppercorns, cubes of white fat. It's not for everybody.
No.
No, it's not. But I don't mind a good sandwich with salami and mortadella and gabagool. That's not bad. Now, salami, everyone's had salami. You've probably had Genoa salami. They cook that in the white wine. Dry salami doesn't have that. You know, you get peppered salami. It just coats the edge around pepper. It's cured sausage with minced lean meat and fat. Salami is super popular. The pork is the most popular meat in there, but they also do other stuff. You can get some of the weird ones with boar and goose and shit. Mortadella, capa, soppressata, those are all salamis. Soppressata.
Occasionally you'll see like porchetta.
Porchetta.
It's really good. Slow roasted pork, basically, and then sliced. Oh,
like pancetta.
So good.
We talked
about
pancetta in the last episode. Yep. It's like bacon, but unsmoked. They don't smoke that. It's pork belly meat that's salted and spiced.
Usually
and
cut a little thicker with the porchetta.
Yeah, a little bit.
Nice and chewy.
If you like peppery salami, try soppressata.
Yes.
It's not like super hot, but it's Calabrian.
Mm-hmm.
It's cured and aged, and it's a little peppery.
Absolutely.
What I don't like is speck. I don't like speck. I don't even like the name of it. It's a pork leg. It's cured, cold smoked, aged. It's unusual because most cured meats in Italy are rarely smoked.
Right.
But they smoke this. It's not my favorite.
No?
No, it's not my favorite.
I'm trying to think if I've had it. I don't think I've had it.
Yeah, no. But if you're going to have a good Italian sub, I like two or three real Italian meats like that. My go-tos are prosciutto.
Yep.
Genoa salami. And if you can find a good gabagool, go for it.
Yes.
And of course, a little provolone.
Mm-hmm.
I take it easy on the cheese because I'm getting older and the cheese isn't agreeing with me so much. But mm-hmm. a little provolone's not too bad because it's not too strong a cheese. It's mild. It lets everything else shine.
You know? Yeah. I mean, for me, pepperoni is one of the more common, I guess you want to call it, but I think it goes really well.
So, speaking of Italian subs,
uh-huh.
I'm just saying this here so it becomes a thing we don't forget about.
You want it to become a thing?
I need this to become a thing because okay. I need to go to All'Antico Vinaio.
Okay.
They just opened one in Vegas. They got one in New York, and they got yes. a bunch in Italy, and it's supposed to be the most legendary Florentine sandwich shop ever. Since 91, they've been running 3 locations in Florence, and it's got tons of awards. It's been on TV all the time. It's super good, and the look of these sandwiches looks amazing. We need to go check that out.
Okay. Let's make it a field trip.
That's a field trip. What Italian meats have you been eating? Write us comments at inbredpodcast.com. Let us know. We really want to know what you've been eating. And honestly, that about wraps it up for episode 2.
If you have any questions, too, let us know. We'd be happy to answer those for you.
Yeah, spread the word. Tell your friends. Spread.
You got that spread.
Oh, you got that all. Whatever. Tell your friends we're talking about sandwiches over here, and you need to get in on this right now. If you want to support the show, visit our Ko-fi. It's like Patreon. ko-fi.com/inbred. Join the Turkey Club for just $5 a month. Get access to our Discord server where we talk about sandwiches or be a meatball hero at tier 2 and win a sandwich every month. Every month we're giving away stuff. I'd like to thank r/sandwiches. I'd like to thank Jeff Roth, our first supporter. Yay!
Yay!
And I'd like to thank the Geek Shock Podcast for helping us kickstart this mess.
Absolutely.
And everyone who enjoys a good sandwich, I'm Barry.
I'm Jeff.
Hey, stay hungry.
Ooh.
I'm hungry now. I feel like we just ate. We need to eat again. See, this is the problem with this. We're going to get fat.
Well, it's because you only ate half your sandwich, and I ate my full sandwich, so I'm satiated.
Yeah. All right.